Second Kings, chapter 2. And if we would choose a verse as a text, we would take that opening verse. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. It was Johnson Oatman Jr. who penned the words, "If I walk in the pathway of Judah, if I work to the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I have gone the last mile of the way. When I have gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I have gone the last mile of the way." I thought of those words when I came to consider this closing chapter in the life of Elijah the Tishbite. For the great man has begun the last mile of his earthly journey before he is called to higher service. And like Paul, he had fought a good fight. He had finished his course, and without a doubt he had kept the faith. And now he is soon to be promoted to glory. What a glorious promotion that was. For the Lord sent a whirlwind and chariot of fire and horses of fire to take him to higher ground. It is always sad to see a good man go. And a man like Elijah will always be missed, as he was when the Lord took him. For there we read in verse 16 regarding the sons of the prophets. He said unto him, "Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not send." But they eventually did go. Went in search of Elijah, and they found him not. He was missed. He was missed. How much will you and I be missed? How much will the Lord's work miss us? When the place that knows us now knows us no more forever. Elijah was a man who was missed. And will it be for us as it was for Elijah when we come to the last mile of the way? Here for the great prophet, we see first of all Elijah and his pathway. We can see from these verses how Elijah spent his last day. That's a sobering thing. This was Elijah's last day on earth. 2 Kings chapter 2 records for us how he had spent that last day. Belshazzar spent his last day on earth drinking and feasting and blaspheming the God of heaven. The rich man, whose grind brought forth plentifully, spent his last day planning for the future and saying, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." We know that that night the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." But that's how he spent his last day. Notice how Elijah spent his last day. Visiting the schools of the Lord's prophets. In the company of God's people. My, which would we rather have? Which we would rather do? Do what Elijah did? Or what Belshazzar did and the rich man did upon our last day on earth? A young boy was a drummer boy in the Civil War. He was mortally wounded. The young lad was a Christian. Of course, they didn't have the anesthetics they have now. And they wanted to relieve his suffering in his last hours. And they put a bottle of whiskey to his mouth. And he refused to take it. And he said, how can I go into the presence of the Lord with the smell of whiskey on my breath? He didn't want to go into the Lord's presence with the smell of that vile stuff upon his breath. Belshazzar went into God's presence with the smell of strong drink on his breath. But Elijah spent his last day in fellowship and communion with the people of God. What a contrast. Notice, first of all here, Elijah and the Lord's will. The chapter begins, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. There's the Lord's will. Now, there were times in Elijah's life when he thought that his race upon earth was run. When Jezebel threatened to kill the prophet, and Elijah ran into the wilderness of Beersheba. He thought his end had come then. And even a little later, when he sat under the juniper tree, he wanted to die. He thought his end was near then. But in spite of the threats, and in spite of his thoughts about ending his life, he would not depart out of the world until it was the Lord's time. That's what it is saying there in verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. The number of years and months and days and hours and even minutes of Elijah's life had already been determined by the Lord. The number of years and months and days and minutes in your life and in mine have already been determined by the Lord. We'll not go before our time, and we'll certainly not go after the time that the Lord has already set and determined. James has told us, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Paul has told us that it is appointed unto man once to die. It is appointed, and God is the one who makes the appointment. And God is the one, and you can be sure, we also will keep that appointment. Listen to what Job says. Job 14 and verse 5. Seeing his days, that's the days of men, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. His days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. So it was with Elijah. As we read in the opening verse, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. The Lord had set the time for Elijah's departure. And he has set your time and mine also. That's the Lord's will. And then we notice Elijah and the Lord's way. The text says, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. There's the Lord's way. The way for his servant was up. He'll take Elijah up into heaven. This shows that the way for the righteous at death is an upward way. We know that the way of the ungodly at death is a downward way. They will go down into hell. But the righteous man, Christian, when death comes, he or she shall go up. Just as the Lord went up. Acts 1 verse 11. The angel said to the disciples at the ascension, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And praise God, Christian, we're going up, and we're going up to where the Lord is. The Lord went up, and we're going up. So when the righteous come to die, they, like Elijah and like the Savior, shall be taken up into heaven. We're all familiar with the story of John Harper, Christian man who was on the Titanic. And John Harper, when he was there in the waters of the Atlantic, did his best to evangelize the people who were drowning all around him. Indeed, one man in Hamilton gave his testimony at a church in Hamilton and said that he was John Harper's last convert. John Harper led him to Christ in the Atlantic. He would swim around and talk to the people that were drowning and witness to them about the Lord. But one man whom Harper knew was a brother in the Lord would come near to Harper. And it was near the end of his life. And he said to Harper, "Brother Harper, we're going down. I'm afraid we're going down." Harper said, "No, brother. We are going up. We're going up." And while the old body of clay may have been going down, praise God, the soul was going up. And going up to higher ground and going up to higher service. Notice again what it says in the verse 1. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven." Elijah wasn't going to fall short of heaven. The Lord wasn't going to allow Elijah to miss heaven. But he would take him up into heaven. And it says in verse 11, And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Where's Elijah tonight, dear Christian? He's in heaven. You see, the Lord will make sure that all of his children will be in heaven. We don't believe for a moment, not for a second, the false teaching of being saved and lost. You cannot be saved and lost. If you're saved, you'll never be lost. If you're saved, you'll be in heaven. Guarantee. We'll be up there in heaven. We're not going to miss out somewhere along the way. We're not going to fall short or come short. The Lord will see to that. He will see that we shall be in heaven. And then you have Elijah and the Lord's word. Elijah's life was characterized by a wonderful submission to the word of God. We all know that. We've noted that in these 20 or so studies in the life of Elijah the Tishbite. And now as he walks the last mile of the way, Elijah once again submits himself to the word of God. Verse 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And look at verse 6. Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." The Lord, or Elijah's life, was led, directed by the Lord and his word. How many Christians today order their lives according to the word of God? How many, when they have a decision to make, will search the scriptures for a word from the Lord? Instead, they will go on a whim and a fancy. And they think it's a good idea to do this or to do that. And they never once consult the word of the Lord. And yet here we have Elijah on the last mile of the way, and he's still submitting himself to the word of the Lord. Believer, that's how he began his ministry. 1 Kings 17. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah and told him to arise and go to Cherith, the brook Cherith. And he didn't move from there. You remember our study? He was there for about 12 months. He didn't leave there until the word of the Lord came to him again and told him to go to the house of the widow woman of Zarephath. You can look over those chapters and underline the number of times the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And here he is again. He began his ministry submitting himself to the word of the Lord. He closes his ministry submitting himself to the word of the Lord. It reminds me of Caleb. Caleb, even after many years, said of Caleb, he still followed the Lord fully. He was an aged man, but he was still following the Lord fully. reminds me of Paul, who in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, was able to say, as we've already quoted, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and have kept the faith. He lived that consistent life. Caleb lived a consistent life. Elijah lived a consistent life like the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus lived on earth a life of perfect obedience to the Word of God. Perfect. Dear Christian, tonight, are we living such a consistent life? Or does our Christian life consist of fits and starts? We get stirred up. We follow the Lord fully. And then we grow cold. We neglect the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord no longer directs us. The word of the Lord is no longer a light onto our feet and a lamp onto our path. We just go our own way. Let us live as Elijah lived. But that is how he lived. He didn't go anywhere, any direction, to any destination, or to any duty, except he was led by the word of the Lord. That's how a Christian ought to live. That's how Elijah lived. That's how Christ lived. How was Elijah on his pathway? We notice next Elijah and his partner. We read in the opening verse, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And they went from Gilgal until Elijah departed from Elisha. He went with them all the way. We find here then that Elijah didn't have to travel that road alone. He didn't have to walk the last mile of the way alone. And I was just thinking, as I was studying this portion, in many ways, Elijah was a lonely man. He stood alone before Ahab. He stayed alone at the brook Cherith. He was there alone. He stood alone on the top of Mount Carmel. Nobody with him. And he was alone in the wilderness, and he was alone under the juniper tree. And when the Lord spoke to him again to go and speak to Ahab, he went alone. So I find that Elijah was very much a man who labored and worked alone. Sometimes that's how it is in the Lord's work and in the Lord's service. We have to carry out the work and carry on the service alone. You think of our missionaries, especially. They labor alone in far off lands. They labor alone in Liberia. They labor alone in Kenya. That's how Elijah labored. But at least in the last mile of the journey had someone to go with him. Certainly the Lord was always with Elijah, but we're talking about some physical presence. And the one that he had to go with him was Elisha. There's some things we can learn about Elisha as Elijah walked this road. This man Elijah was Elisha was to Elijah a dedicated partner. His was a dedicated man. Now, if he was going to take up the mantle of Elijah and carry on Elijah's work, he needed to be dedicated. He needed to be as dedicated as Elijah had been. And without a doubt, Elisha was. The Lord had called him a few years prior to this incident we have in 2 Kings 2. You go over to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19 we read. So he departed thence, verse 19, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave on to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him, and he was with him every day since, over a number of years. He ministered unto Elijah. But the thing I want you to notice is what Elisha did in that verse 21. He took a yoke of oxen. I believe it was the yoke of oxen that he was using, that he was ploughing with, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. And so he had taken the wooden frame that was across the neck, the yoke that was across the necks of the oxen and the plough, and he burned them. So what was he left with? Nothing. He had no oxen and he had no plough. And then it says, then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In other words, he forsook all. He turned his back on home. He slew his oxen. And he burned his plough. He turned his back on everything and went to minister unto Elijah and to serve the Lord. He was a dedicated partner. That reminds me of the disciples. Now, we pointed out on other occasions that the Lord had to call the disciples three times. Because they kept going back to the fishing. And in Luke chapter 5, he calls them for a third time. And look at what we read in Luke chapter 5. Again, they had been fishing, caught nothing. The Lord told them where to cast their nets, that they would find. Verse 5. "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." The Lord had told them, let down the nets, plural. But Peter had only let down one net. He really didn't believe that he could see the nets filled. So he let down one net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now I go down to verse 10. "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Been called again, you see. And verse 11 says, And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's what Elisha had done. When he slew his oxen and burned his plow, he had forsaken all. And when the disciples had brought their ship to land, they forsook all. You know what I think? I think that would have been a very difficult time for the disciples to forsake all and follow Christ. They had just had a very successful time of fishing. They'd filled their net. Their business, if you like, was prospering. They were doing well. It would have been easier for them to follow the Lord if their nets had been empty. Say, well, this business isn't much good anyway. It would have been easier to follow Christ then. But they forsook all and followed Christ when business was booming. That was the sacrifice they made. That was a sign and a token of their dedication. Let us, believer, be ready to forsake all and follow Christ. Show the same dedication that Elisha showed and the disciples showed. And then we notice that he was not only a dedicated partner, he was a determined partner. See, whenever you set out to follow the Lord, dedicate your life to the Lord, you can be sure that there will be many tests and trials along the way. The devil will come and test you and try to hold you back from following the Lord. The Lord will test you just to see how determined and dedicated you really are. Well, that's what happened to Elisha. He was determined. This man, Elisha, was determined to go on and go through with God. For as he walked with Elijah along that last mile of the way, he was tested. But I want you to notice, first of all, regarding his determination, their togetherness. It says that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then look at the end of verse 2. So they went down to Bethel. They're together. Look at the end of verse 4. I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. You come down to verse 6. End of verse 6, I will not leave thee, and they too went on. The end of verse 7, and they stood by Jordan. The end of verse 8, so they too went over on dry ground. Beginning of verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over. And once more verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on. There was Elijah's partner. Notice their togetherness. He had been ministering on to Elijah now for a number of years. And when it came to that last mile of the way, they were together. They were together. There was that unity between them. And apart from the Lord, Elijah didn't have anyone else to go with him, but Elisha did. And he proved to be a true friend. Proved to be a faithful friend. True companion. They went on together. And let us, as we're involved in the Lord's work, let us go on together. And be like Elijah and Elisha. They were both involved in the Lord's work, and they were together in the Lord's work. Let us ever have that same spirit of togetherness. We're in the Lord's work. And let us go on. It says there, they went on together. Not only do we have the togetherness, but you have also the testings. Elisha's dedication to the Lord and the work he was called to was greatly tested. He was given many opportunities to leave the side of Elijah, but he didn't. Three times on the journey, Elijah tested Elisha with the words, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me." Verses 2, 4, and 6. Elisha was prepared and ready to stay with the man he had been ministering to for a number of years. Even though that same man said to him, "Tarry here," Elisha said, "I will not leave thee. Wherever thou art going, I am going. We are together in this work." Elisha was ready to stay with the man who was obedient and the man who was surrendered to the word of the Lord, because it was the word of the Lord that Elijah had conveyed to Elisha. He says, "The Lord has told me. The Lord has given me his word to go on. You stay here." Elisha says, "Well, if the Lord has given you the word, I'm going too." He stayed with the man who held to the word of the Lord. And that reminds me of that portion of scripture in John chapter 6 and that incident in the Lord's ministry. It's familiar to us. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why did they go back? Because they couldn't take the word that the Lord was preaching. It was too deep for them. And he was preaching on his flesh and his blood, and he said, "You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood." But of course he was speaking spiritually. And that was too high of a doctrine for those who were would-be followers of the Lord. Because of that, they said, "These are hard things." Nothing hard about it. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Listen, thou hast the words of eternal life." What was it that kept the 12 by the Lord's side? It was the word. Where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Nobody else will give us the word, Lord, that thou will give us. So we're staying. Elijah said to Elisha, you tarry here, because the word of the Lord has told me to go on. And Elisha was ready to go on too. Why? Because Elijah had the word of the Lord. And he was walking in accordance with the word of the Lord. And then he was tested in another way. Look at verses 3 and 5. The sons of the prophets. These were students, as it were, for the ministry. They were training for the ministry. Elijah had visited the colleges there at Bethel. And then again at Jericho. These young students said to Elijah, knowest thou that the, or to Elisha, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. There's one thing we learn very quickly in the theological hall when you're a student. You kept your mouth shut. Put your head down and get on with the work. You had plenty of time to speak whenever you were ordained. But when you were a student, you just got on with the work. These students spoke out of turn. Imagine talking to Elisha in the way that they did. But it didn't matter to Elisha, he was still going on. He was tested, but still going on. There have been those who have tried to get the people who presently attend our Calgary Church. There are those who have been trying to get those people to leave, saying to them, you poor people. Trying to get them to leave and come over to their side. Sure, look at you. There's not very many of you. You might as well leave the work and come and join us. So what I greatly admire about that little company in the Calgary Church. For they said, we're not leaving. We're free Presbyterians. This is our church, and we're staying. And I praise the Lord for people like that. Oh, they'll be tested and tempted. But they're staying. There's not many of them about the size of our own congregation, but they're staying because they're free Presbyterians by conviction. And that's what I like. And there were those who tried to get Elisha to stay. But Elisha says, I'm going on. I'm staying with the man, this man Elijah. And I notice his desire. After Elijah and Elisha had crossed over Jordan, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away. Verse 9. And Elisha's answer to this question was a noble answer. Shows you really the spiritual quality of this man, Elisha. He didn't ask for fame or fortune. He didn't ask for material or physical blessings. Rather, he wisely sought for spiritual blessings. For he said in verse 9, and Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's what I want, Elijah. If you can grant me a double portion of thy spirit, that's what I want. Now here was Elisha, and he was taking over from Elijah. He had a work to do for God. He needed the power of the Spirit. That Spirit that was in Elijah. And dear Christian, if we want to do anything for God, that's what we need to desire also. Power of the Spirit of God. You can study the life of Elijah and study the life of Elisha, and you'll find that he wrought twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He had a double portion of God's power. Is that not what we need? Need a double portion of God's power. You can see now why Elisha kept going on with Elijah. He had his mind and his heart set on higher things. Spiritual things, holy things. He wanted to be a man of God with power to work and minister for the Lord. And finally, you have Elijah and his promotion. Elijah had now come to the end of the last mile of the way. It was time for him to go higher. His race was run. His work was finished. His battles were all over. It was time for Elijah to go home. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for his sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I have gone the last mile of the way. And Elijah was about to see the Lord in his glory. Notice his tranquility. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked. Now Elijah knows every step he took would bring him nearer to his departure out of this world. And yet they both went on and talked. There's his tranquility. There's the peace we were talking about this morning. John Wesley said to his brother Charles, Brother Charles, our people die well. Because they're ready to die, you see. God's people are ready to die. And so when it comes to the crossing of Jordan, we also have that peace and tranquility. You think of Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death. And there is Stephen with a hail of stones falling all around him and falling upon him in perfect peace and tranquility. he kneels down and commits his spirit into the hand of the Lord. Our people die. Well, and you have his translation. Here you have Elijah, and he's translated. He doesn't die as we will die. He's taken up into heaven. Like Enoch, who was not, for the Lord took him. But there's something about Elijah's departure that we should note. And people talk about Elijah's promotion to glory, and they say something about it that's not right. They say that he went to heaven on a chariot of fire. He didn't. Doesn't say that. And the religious painters will portray Elijah going to heaven on a chariot of fire and horses of fire. But that is not scriptural. How did he go to heaven? And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 11. Now that's scriptural. That's how he went to heaven. By a whirlwind. Not by a chariot of fire or horses of fire. They were there to accompany him. And I believe that was most fitting that they should be there. Because fire was a mark of Elijah's ministry. And very often how a man lives, that's how he dies. That's how Elijah went into heaven. And if here I have earnestly striven, and have tried all his will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I have gone the last mile of the way. When I have gone the last mile of the way, I'll rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I have gone the last mile of the way. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank thee for these mighty, mighty men. Thank thee, Lord, for a man like Elijah. How we've enjoyed the study of his life. And yet, Lord, we know there is much more there that, Lord, we have not brought out. Thank thee, Lord, for this man, Elisha. Man of great determination and dedication. A man with holy desires for power in his life. Not for riches or fame, for the Holy Ghost power in his life. Lord, make us all like Elijah. Make us all like Elisha. As it were, cause the mantle of these men to fall on us. Lord, write thy holy word upon our hearts. And may we meditate upon thy truth and think about these men as they relate to the Lord and his service. And O gracious God, when we all come to the last mile of the way, may we, like Elijah, still be found walking in the way, living according to thy word. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Take us tonight to our homes with thy good hand resting upon us.